Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
He just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post, lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace! What a jump ball!
Pistons down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first. A burst from Rodney, stuck into the rim! Count up, baby, and a foul! Reggie inside for Andre, and a dynamite dunk!
Pistons fans, welcome to another edition of the Palace Pistons podcast. Brendan Johnson, Aaron Johnson here with you. Ryan Pay, a game day scratch. But, you know, I think he's got a legitimate reason today as we kind of begin the pod. Want to give a shout out to Ryan's brother, our cousin Zach, graduating from the police academy today. So I know Ryan had some obligations for the family. It's understood. He can't be here with us on the podcast today. But congratulations to Zach. We're going to miss Ryan this week.
Yeah, Ryan, definitely a game-time decision right up to the tip-off on this one. No question about it. I'll give him a pass, but let's just say if the roles were reversed, I think I'd be catching some flack right now from Ryan. So, but I'm a nice guy. I'll let it fly. And yeah, congratulations to Zach. That's big stuff.
Well, let's talk about our Detroit Pistons, and I don't know if we're ready to cut them any slack yet. They currently sit at 13-13, 8 games back from the Toronto Raptors in first place of the Eastern Conference. They have lost 6 in a row, 6 out of their last 10, because it followed a 4-game win streak, or 5-game win streak. So the Pistons, Aaron, they're not playing well. We talked about it last week. They just blew a game the other day to Charlotte, losing 108-107, a very winnable game for the Pistons. They had a game versus the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid not playing and couldn't find a way to get the job done. They've lost twice to the 76ers so far in the month of December, 117-111 at home, and then 116-102 on the road. There's a home loss to the Pelicans as well. Another game that was winnable, the Pistons just couldn't find a way to get it done at LCA.
Yeah, this is some frustrating basketball right now from Detroit, and it's tough to even call it basketball. This team isn't playing the way that they once were, and right now there's just no rhythm to this team whatsoever. It's Blake Griffin doing everything he possibly can, and he's just not getting enough help from anyone else on that roster, and it's infatuatingly frustrating because this team, we've seen how good that they can play. And now they go on this 6-game losing streak where they've dropped multiple games that were very winnable. You blow that game against Charlotte, which is absolutely infuriating. You're up 11 going into the fourth quarter, and you just completely collapse in the fourth quarter. Blake Griffin missing 2 free throws. That would have been big in that game. Obviously, that 3-pointer by Jeremy Lamb to end it was tough to watch, just a tough way to end the collapse that finally happened for Detroit. And, you know, that's a game where that's a team you're better than, and you need it after losing 5 games in a row. You needed to get that win, and they didn't get that win. You look at their 2 losses to Philadelphia. Yes, Blake Griffin sat in one of those games, but Jimmy Butler only played 9 minutes in one of the games because he left with an injury. And then you had Joel Embiid sit out the other game. So for Detroit to drop both those became winnable games after, you know, Embiid decided to sit and Butler left. Both those were winnable games that Detroit dropped. And then the Pelicans game. That's a team that you think you should at least be able to compete with, and Detroit got outplayed. Jrue Holiday ate Reggie Jackson alive on both sides of the court. And it was refreshing because Anthony Davis also played, you know, he left that game a few minutes in and didn't come back until the start of the second half. You know, so that's another opportunity that Detroit had where a star player missed some time in that game, and Detroit just still wasn't able to put it enough together. And when you're amidst a schedule in the summer that's very tough and you're losing games and you have these opportunities where you're playing good teams that aren't necessarily at full strength and you're not able to get the job done, that's the kind of stuff that comes back to bite you at the end of the year, whether you're fighting to get into the playoffs or whether you're fighting for a 4 seed or a 5 seed or a 6 seed or a 7 seed.
The schedule doesn't get any easier either. Saturday, they play versus Boston. Then you got next week, Monday, Milwaukee, Wednesday at Minnesota. And we'll have a pod for you before that 7 o'clock game in Charlotte next Friday, the 21st. But we knew the month of December was going to be tough. And the one thing I think we all wanted to see out of the Pistons is when they were given opportunities to win games or when they played teams like Charlotte, New Orleans, both teams that they are capable of beating, you got to capitalize on that. Because you know, if you get a full-strength 76ers team on the road and you lose to them, nobody's going to be sitting here sweating it right now. But when you have an opportunity to play a game where Jimmy Butler gets hurt, you have an opportunity to play Charlotte, you have an opportunity to play New Orleans, you have an opportunity to go out and get some wins that are very, very realistic games to win. Now, after the Golden State game, they had two abysmal losses to the Thunder at home and then at Milwaukee. And everybody started getting nervous. Then the Philly game was close last Friday, and you're thinking, okay, Maybe things can turn around for the Pistons, right? Maybe we can get something going. Nope. And then the New Orleans game was a winnable one. They lost. The 116-102 loss was a game the Pistons were still in through a good portion of the game. And then, you know, another good night for Blake Griffin wasted as they lose 108-107 in Charlotte. But I want to mention real quick, how about Luke Kennard leading scorers in Philadelphia with 28 the other night?
Yeah, you know, that was good to see after the way Kennard had came back from his injury, just not playing well against the Thunder and not really finding a rhythm. That was good for him to have that game. But then, you know, he goes out against Charlotte and he struggles. So I guess, you know, you'll take what you can get with him. You want to see it rather sooner than later because Detroit needs it with their injury issues. But Luke Kennard needs to figure it all out quickly because Detroit needs production on the wing, and Kennard is one of the few wings standing on this Detroit roster. So it's important that he finds a way to be consistent and be the long-range threat that is very important for this Detroit team, because just having shooting around Blake Griffin is enough to completely change the landscape for this Detroit offense. They don't hit shots. And, you know, Luke Kennard is one of those guys that, in theory, can hit shots. So you need to be able to play Kennard and trust him, and he needs to be able to do what he can do, which is shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pistons are battling some injuries right now, too. Ish Smith, Henry Ellenson, Reggie Bullock all out. Nagging injury for Glenn Robinson III, I believe, as too, well. Yeah. Is he out now? You get Stanley Johnson back, which helps, but it's tough when you're playing, you know, the brutal part of your schedule to start battling injuries and having to throw out their different lineups and things like that. So there is some understanding to what's going on, but at the same time, that's part of the job. That's part of the gig. And you got to be able to find a way to still collect victories if you are that good of a team, if you're a legitimate team.
It's tough for Detroit because you lose two starters in Bullock and Glenn Robinson III, and then you lose six-man A, I guess. I would consider Ish Smith and Stanley Johnson both six-men, I guess. So six-man A and Ish Smith. So you lose key pieces of depth, and obviously Henry Ellenson, him being out, doesn't really do much considering he doesn't really play. But when you lose three guys that play 20-25-plus minutes a night for you, I guess Glenn Robinson doesn't do that because he's mainly a guy that starts the first and then doesn't play again until the start of the third, but then comes out. But he starts. You know, he's a starter on this team. So you lose two starters and a key bench piece, and, you know, you'll see some regression from the team. That's, I guess, expected. This team isn't deep enough to just not see any regression. But for them to fall off the map the way that they have, it hurts. And it's not totally because of these injuries. Let's not hide the fact that guys like Reggie Jackson have just been completely awful lately. You know, Detroit's having to play Jose Calderon 20 minutes a night. I just want to point out one statistic that really bothers me, and it's Jose Calderon. In their loss to Charlotte, led the team in field goal attempts in the fourth quarter. He took 5 field goals in the fourth quarter against Charlotte, a game that Detroit ended up blowing. To me, that's absolutely unacceptable. But when you're not able to play Reggie Jackson because he's playing as bad as he has, and you have to trust 40-year-old Jose Calderon, and Calderon has to go out. And I'm not going to lie, Calderon has not done a bad job, you know, initiating the offense, passing the basketball, moving the ball. He hasn't done a bad job in that respect, but he can't defend. And when he's leading your team in field goal attempts in a quarter, and perhaps the biggest quarter of the game, it's unacceptable, and it's a testament to this Detroit team having some real issues, especially at the point guard spot. It's just becoming more and more apparent that it's not working with Reggie Jackson. So this is a scary time for Detroit, but the injuries are tough. You need Reggie Bullock back. You need his shooting ability back. You'd like Ish Smith back, the way he plays, the way he pace with pace, the way he can run the second unit. And Glenn Robinson III, albeit he has not played well this season, he has the talent to fit with this Detroit team. He's athletic. He can defend. He's just got to be able to start knocking down some shots and play with confidence. And he hasn't had that yet, but you got to hope that it comes with time because he's a piece for this team that can be important, as we've seen with the way Detroit trusts him. He can be an important piece for this roster. So, yes, this team is banged up, and you need those guys back, but you can't just give the guys that are playing a pass for playing as poor as they have.
You talk about a struggling Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith being out, so it leaves that void at the point guard position. And, Aaron, the rumors are swirling. Markelle Fultz potentially on the market. Detroit is interested in pursuing him. Fultz has struggled. He only played 14 games in his rookie year. He's been out since November 19th with an injury. He's been battling a shoulder injury. They talk about an abnormal range of motion, limited movement, things of that nature. It's concerning for Markelle Fultz and his abilities that he's had these injuries his entire time really in the league, but this is still a guy that was selected number one overall. This is still a guy that when he's healthy has a lot of ability. What are your thoughts on the Pistons making a move for Markelle Fultz, and how much would you be willing to give up to acquire him?
Well, Detroit has been linked to Fultz. It's been reported by SB Nation's Philadelphia 76ers blog, Liberty Ballers, and then it was confirmed by Vincent Ellis of the Detroit Free Press. So we know that there's something there. We don't know how serious it is. I mean, for me, loved Markelle Fultz coming out of college. For me, he was the clear-cut number one pick over Lonzo Ball, over Jason Tatum, over Josh Jackson. But the way he has come into this league and just it hasn't worked for him is very concerning. You see what has happened to his shooting, to his confidence. There's just not a lot there. And I get he's been put in a very bad situation by going to Philadelphia, who has had their famously notorious injury bug history. But from talking to people in the medical field and the NBA, you just do not get a good sense about Markelle Fultz. At least I haven't from talking to these types of people. And because of that, I'm not that interested in Fultz. I would be interested if the price is minimal, but I don't want Detroit sacrificing a first-round pick to get him, especially this year's pick, because right now we don't know what this Detroit team is yet. The way that they're playing, this is a lottery team again. So that pick could mean something. Now, I don't particularly think this is a great draft, and that's a topic for a different day because I just don't see it with a lot of players in this draft. But a first-round pick is still a first-round pick. It's going to have more value once we know where Detroit stands. And to give it up for Markelle Fultz, who may just not be able to play, period, it's a risk that I don't want to take. If it ends up costing you maybe Reggie Bullock's expiring contract or Ish Smith, I don't know what else you could put together. But as long as you're not giving up Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, your first-round pick, or Luke Kennard, everyone else is pretty much fair game, I guess. I think there's some calculated risk. But obviously, there can be a very high reward with Fultz. I just think that the risk is much, much heavier than the potential for a reward with him.
The way you just put it there is it's high risk, high reward. No doubt about it. Because Markell hasn't been able to play, right? He's had the injuries, he's had problems, but you got to remember, this is a guy that's still just 20 years old. And you know, the other thing that I'm comfortable with is I trust the Pistons medical staff. They will not make a trade for Markelle Fultz if they do any sort of, you know, analysis or they talk to his doctors and see any sort of potential problems. You know, if there's a medical issue that they don't think Markelle Fultz is ever going to fully recover, they won't make the trade. And I trust them to make that decision and to use their discretion. But if the trade, you know, were to go through, I would have confidence that they believe Markelle Fultz can not only come back and be healthy, but come back and be a legitimate contributor for this basketball team. I'm on the same page as you, though. I think Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, first-round pick, Luke Kennard are your only untouchables. You know, right now with the way he's been playing, I don't know if I want to lose Stanley Johnson for, you know, a high-risk player, Markelle Fultz. But, Aaron, think about this. Reggie Jackson, his contract expires after next season. He has been so bad for the Pistons. You might be able to slide Markelle Fultz into the starting lineup and utilize Reggie and Ish off the bench. You might be able to put more variety in the way that you run lineups on the floor. Or you might even be able to move Reggie Jackson for some minimal return. Maybe you could shed his money. Somebody would take on the expiring deal, and you both mutually agree to part ways then after that, right? It could work out. I think getting Markelle Fultz and taking a chance at building that point guard spot for the future is huge.
Well, the thing is with Fultz is, this year at least, he's played a lot of his minutes at the two-guard spot. He, according to Basketball Reference, in both seasons, he's played 70% of his minutes at shooting guard, just 10% in his rookie season at point guard, 14% this season at point guard. He's also spent over 15% each season at the small forward spot. So he's a guy that, in theory, would fit in a standpoint of he's not necessarily your point guard, but he can create. He is a point guard, but he's played the two. Obviously, with Ben Simmons in Philadelphia, there wasn't really a spot from the start at the point guard spot. But can he shoot? He hasn't.
I don't think he has to, though.
With this team, he has to, because you need shooters around Blake Griffin.
You do, but
look at this Detroit offense with the way and the way that they perform.
No,
listen. With Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, who hasn't shot the ball well. Reggie Bullock, who hasn't shot the ball well this year. Glenn Robinson, who hasn't shot the ball well this year. Stanley Johnson, who hasn't shot the ball well this year. Andre Drummond, who hasn't shot the ball well.
But
there's just not enough shooting around this team. And then you're going to add a guy who is going to have high usage for your team, most likely. And you're going to expect him to be a key part of your offense. And he hasn't shot the ball well. He just doesn't do enough.
Hold on. Think about what Ryan has talked about when he's been here. Blake Griffin needs another guy that can play on the wing, that can create. Luke Kennard will be a better shooter. And if Luke Kennard only had to shoot the ball, then you might be able to get something out of it. You know, he has the ability to do it. Stanley Johnson's never going to be, you know, some fantastic three-point shooter. But all he has to be is good enough. You look at Reggie Jackson. He has not had success shooting the ball. And he hasn't had that much success getting to the rim either. He's not been able to finish strong. The only thing he's really got are those dump-off passes to Dre. And, I mean, he's still capable of, you know, finishing at the rim occasionally, but not as good as he used to be able to do. Markelle Fultz is going to be more of an elite rim attacker. He's going to be able to still make the plays with Drummond. And when you have another guy that can create a little more efficiently than Reggie Jackson can, and maybe you could trust going to the basket a little bit more, Aaron, I think you got a huge upside in this. And I get your point of you need another shooter, and maybe you do need another shooter, but I don't think it has to be your point guard.
I don't necessarily trust Markelle Fultz to be a good enough shot creator right now. He may be a good enough guy to help run the offense and move the ball on offense, but I'm not expecting him to be able to come in and create his own shot.
Don't forget, though, depending how much you have to give up for him, he's still on a rookie deal. Right? He comes here, it doesn't work out, you just let him go. But you take a chance on a 20-year-old that now if you get him and things work out, you get him to like Detroit, you get him to embrace Blake Griffin, you get him to embrace what's going on here, now you've got a foundational piece. Now you've got a guy that could really be special. That's the high reward. And the way I look at this is the high risk is only if you give up a first-round pick, Blake, Andre, who aren't moving for Markelle Fultz, or Luke Kennard. And, you know, other than that, you know what? If you lose Reggie Bullock, if you lose Stanley Johnson, are they good pieces? Sure. But are they all-stars? Are they guys that can be replaced? You know? They can be replaced, Aaron. Like, they're good pieces. That's nothing against them. But they're replaceable pieces. Markelle Fultz, if he doesn't work out, you just let him walk. But you take a chance on a guy that's 20 years old, was the number one overall pick on a rookie deal. You take that chance. And maybe he gets healthy and he has a change of scenery and he gets to play more naturally in the one guard spot where maybe that's where he prefers to play. Maybe things change. Maybe that's a guy that goes off. And if he doesn't, you just let him go. But this is a Pistons team that is in dire need of making a move.
Okay, so here's the thing. My main point is he's not a shot creator. He's best at attacking the basket. He's not a guy that's going to generate open looks for himself. Okay, he's going to get to the rim a little bit, but he's not going to do what Ryan or I or you want Detroit to go out and get. And that's fine. This would be a completely different move. And for like what you said, a 20-year-old on a rookie deal, a former number one overall pick, high potential, you take that risk if what you have to give up isn't that bad of a give up. But and I like that. I would gladly take the risk on Markelle Fultz if Detroit had to give up Reggie Bullock, Stanley Johnson, Ishmael, anyone not named Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, Luke Kennard, or this year's first round pick. I would gladly take that risk because Fultz has that kind of potential. But he also has that risk of this guy could really just be injured and end up not being able to come back and play, or he could come back and just not be a good enough player. So it's a risk. But again, that would be something that this Detroit fan base would get behind.
Yes.
That would be something that this Detroit fan base would maybe fill the seats up a little bit more for. Because Markelle Fultz he's Markelle Fultz. He has that name. He has that aura around
him. Number one overall pick.
You have him and Blake Griffin. Those are two names that they generate that vibe, you know? So it's something to take a look at. And again, I'm not against it. I just don't know how for it I am. And especially considering what his value is, no one really knows. And if the Sixers want a first-round pick or Luke Kennard or anything of that magnitude, I really hope Detroit just stands pat because he's not worth that much.
I agree with you. I think the way you said it earlier with the price has to be right is important because Markelle Fultz hasn't proven that he can be a guy in this league. He hasn't proven it. But his college play, the Philadelphia 76ers selecting him with the number one overall pick, says enough to me that it's a guy that you don't want to just disregard either. So I think he helps a lot. I think he could help a lot, I should say. And if the price is right, it makes sense for the Pistons because the Pistons are all in right now. They're all in. So now you got to try to make moves to better your odds. Because, and the thing is, Aaron, let's be fair here. If the Pistons are all in, you know they're going to be willing to move a first-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be more than willing. And that Philadelphia is going to ask
for it. Well, we've heard reports that Detroit's actively aggressive on the trade market right now. That was reported earlier this week that Detroit is one of those teams that has been popping up in trade talks around the league more than most teams in the league. So they're willing to make the moves. They're willing to trade assets. They're willing to trade pieces. So we know this Detroit team is gearing up to make some type of move. Hopefully it's a deal worth something. Hopefully it's not just a small move.
Don't forget, by the way, Dwayne Casey, he might be the point guard whisperer. Think about what he could do with Markelle Fultz if he gets that guy playing at a high level. Think about that, Aaron.
If Detroit could get Markelle Fultz for a minimal price, I would be very happy. I would love to take that risk. I just don't want to give up a key asset or a key piece to take that risk. That's all I'm saying.
I could very likely see a package of Ish Smith, Reggie Bullock, first-round pick for Markelle Fultz, and maybe like a conditional or like a protected pick down the road or something like that. I could see that being the kind of swap the Pistons make here. And it helps Philadelphia, too, because now they bring in a guy like Reggie Bullock that can score the ball. They bring in another point guard option in Ish Smith that they could slide to the two. They could move Ben Simmons around a little bit if they want. They could get a little more creative as well. That could be a win-win package for both teams.
I don't know. I don't know what Fultz's value is to really judge it. But if it was, I just don't want to give up a first round pick for him. I really don't. I would give up Ish Smith and Reggie Bullock and be fine with that, because Ish Smith, you know, Markelle Fultz is going to absorb Ish Smith's minutes, and Reggie Bullock's an expiring contract that Detroit can replace in house with Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown. So that would be fine. But giving up that first round pick, unless you're getting back a pick of some value or getting like a player of some value, you know, I was going to say maybe Mike Muscala as a backup big for Detroit, but a guy that I wanted to talk about, John Luehr, he's playing pretty well right now.
He has.
He's come back and he's slowly built himself back into form. And for a guy that's making $10.5 million, you know, he's not your home run free agent signing, but he's a guy that can contribute to this team, and that's important and good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's necessary for this Pistons team, especially if, you know, there's days that Blake or Andre have to sit, or God forbid there's an injury. You've got to have guys that are able to step up and play a little bit. John Luehr, you could say, has been disappointing in his time in Detroit, but he's finally starting to play better basketball, be of some value, and as you put it, it's really nice to see for the Pistons.
If only we could get him to make a three-point shot. Hasn't made one in over 600 days.
That's crazy. And he was brought here to be a potential stretch four for this
team. Oh, yeah. He was brought in to play the backup five against Kevin Love in the playoffs and shoot the heck out of the three ball, and just hasn't done either of those things because Detroit hasn't made it back to the playoffs and he hasn't made three-point shots. So
tough. Well, the Pistons got a few games coming up, as mentioned earlier in the pod, before we get back with you next week. That starts Saturday versus the Boston Celtics. A game that, again, Aaron, that's another top team in the Eastern Conference, but the Pistons really got to buckle down at home and find a way to win the ball game. They need to.
Detroit is desperate for a win right now, and it's imperative that they get one. It doesn't matter who it comes against. It has to happen. You know, and it's got to be more than Blake Griffin. I'm sick and tired of coming on the podcast every week and saying the same damn thing. It's Blake Griffin against the other team. He's not getting enough help. Andre Drummond is inconsistent. You never know what you're going to get from him on a nightly basis. Reggie Jackson has not been an effective point guard at all lately. Luke Kennard has come back, and he had that one nice game. But other than that, he hasn't played well. Reggie Bullock's out. Ish Smith is out. You know, your models of consistency and guys like that are no longer there. Stanley Johnson came back the other day against Charlotte and didn't play very well. So for Detroit, there's not a lot going for them right now. They got to find a way to pull it together and just beat a team, because they are in desperation mode right now, and they are fighting for something that they, if they want to make the playoffs, they need to start winning. They have to rebuild the respect of this fan base after it looked like they were starting to do that with their wins against Golden State and Toronto. But they've completely shattered it the way that they've played lately. So it's on them right now to turn this all around and right the ship, because it has been ugly lately, and it's no one's fault but themselves.
Yeah, you're right. And we'll see if the Pistons are able to do that as they go through a continued tough stretch here in the month of December, as they need to find a way to get a victory, to kind of slow down this struggle and regroup, no doubt about it. So with that being said, the Pistons, again, they sit 13-13, currently 7th place in the Eastern Conference. They're looking to improve upon that. Markelle Fultz, I'm in. I am all in on Markelle Fultz right now. The more I talk about it, the more I'm talking myself into it.
It's the same thing with me. The more we talk about it, the more I'm like, all right, let's try it.
He's a former number one overall pick. You take it. He's 20 years old. You take a chance on that guy. Hey, are you at that point yet, Aaron, where you start to realize, like, people are pretty close to an age, and you look at, like, what you're doing with your life and what they're doing with their life?
Yeah.
Because, you know, looking at the fact that, like, Markelle Fultz is, you know, a year younger than me, and he's a former number one pick in the NBA making millions of dollars, and I'm sitting here talking about him, it's just like, you know.
It hits you, right? Oh, yeah.
We're at that point.
It sucks.
But it's okay.
Well,
one day we'll make it big time.
Right.
And that is with the help of you, the listeners. Continue to help us. Subscribe, rate, review the podcast. It's on iTunes, as you know, Palace of Pistons. Check out our website. We're growing that thing, and Aaron and his staff of writers do a phenomenal job. PalaceofPistons.com. You can follow Aaron on Twitter at AJohnsonNBA. You can follow me on Twitter at MediaBrendan. Throw Ryan Pay a shout. Give him some crap for not being on the podcast this week. That's at Ryan Pay. Pay is P-A-Y-E. So we appreciate everybody tuning in to this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. And we will see you next time, hopefully, with the Pistons team that is above 500.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.